Chapter 28. No, don't show us any further, William. ... said his sister. It is too tragic. ... Destancy put away the sword, himself rather excited not, however, by his own recital, but by the direct gaze of Paula at him. This Protean quality of Destancy's, by means of which he could assume the shape and situation of almost any ancestor at will, had impressed her, and he perceived it with a throb of fervor. But it had done no more than impress her, for though in delivering the lines he had so fixed his look upon her as to suggest, to any maiden practiced in the game of the eyes, a present significance in the words, the idea of any such arrière-pensée had by no means commended itself to her soul. At this time a messenger from Markton Barracks arrived at the castle, and wished to speak to Captain Destancy in the hall. Begging the two ladies to excuse him for a moment, he went out. While Destancy was talking in the twilight to the messenger at one end of the apartment, some other arrival was shown in by the side door, and in making his way after the conference across the hall to the room he had previously quitted, Destancy encountered the newcomer. There was just enough light to reveal the countenance to be theirs. He bore a portfolio under his arm, and had begun to wear a mustache, in case the chief constable should meet him anywhere in his rambles, and be struck by his resemblance to the man in the studio. What the devil are you doing here? ... said Captain Destancy, in tones he had never used before to the young man. Dare started back in surprise, and naturally so. Destancy, having adopted a new system of living, and relinquished the meager diet and enervating waters of his past years, was rapidly recovering tone. His voice was firmer, his cheeks were less pallid, and above all he was authoritative towards his present companion, whose ingenuity in vamping up a being for his ambitious experiments seemed about to be rewarded, like Frankenstein's, by his discomfiture at the hands of his own creature. What the devil are you doing here, I say? ... repeated Destancy. You can talk to me like that, after my working so hard to get you on in life, and make a rising man of you. ... expostulated Dare, as one who felt himself no longer the leader in this enterprise. But, ... said the captain less harshly, if you let them discover any relations between us here, you will ruin the fairest prospects man ever had. ... Oh, I like that, Captain, when you owe all of it to me. ... That's too cool, Will. ... No, what I say is true. However, let that go. So now you are here on a call, but how are you going to get here often enough to win her before the other man comes back? If you don't see her every day twice, three times a day, you will not capture her in the time. ... I must think of that, ... said Destancy. There is only one way of being constantly here. You must come to copy the pictures or furniture, something in the way he did. ... I'll think of it, ... muttered Destancy hastily, as he heard the voices of the ladies, whom he hastened to join as they were appearing at the other end of the room. His countenance was gloomy as he recrossed the hall, for Dare's words on the shortness of his opportunities had impressed him. Almost at once he uttered a hope to Paula that he might have further chance of studying, and if possible of copying, some of the ancestral faces with which the building abounded. Meanwhile Dare had come forward with his portfolio, which proved to be full of photographs. While Paula and Charlotte were examining them, he said to Destancy, as a stranger, "Excuse my interruption, sir, but if you should think of copying any of the portraits, as you were stating just now to the ladies, my patent photographic process is at your service, and is, I believe, the only one which would be effectual in the dim indoor lights." ... It is just what I was thinking of, ... said Destancy, now so far cooled down from his irritation, as to be quite ready to accept Dare's adroitly suggested scheme. On application to Paula, she immediately gave the Stancy permission to photograph to any extent, and told Dare he might bring his instruments as soon as Captain de Stancy required them. Don't stare at her in such a brazen way. ... whispered the latter to the young man, when Paula had withdrawn a few steps. Say, I shall highly value the privilege of assisting Captain de Stancy in such a work. ... Dare obeyed, and before leaving de Stancy arranged to begin performing on his venerated forefathers the next morning, the youth so accidentally engaged agreeing to be there at the same time, to assist in the technical operations. 3. As he had promised, de Stancy made use the next day of the coveted permission that had been brought about by the ingenious Dare. Dare's timely suggestion of tendering assistance had the practical result of relieving the other of all necessity for occupying his time with the proceeding, further than to bestow a perfunctory superintendence now and then, to give a color to his regular presence in the fortress, the actual work of taking copies being carried on by the younger man. The weather was frequently wet during these operations, and Paula, Miss de Stancy, and her brother were often in the house whole mornings together. By constant urging and coaxing, the latter would induce his gentle sister, much against her conscience, to leave him opportunities for speaking to Paula alone. It was mostly before some print or painting that these conversations occurred, while de Stancy was ostensibly occupied with its merits, or in giving directions to his photographer how to proceed. As soon as the dialogue began, the latter would withdraw out of earshot, leaving Paula to imagine him the most deferential young artist in the world. You will soon possess duplicates of the whole gallery, she said on one of these occasions, examining some curled sheets which Dare had printed off from the negatives. No, said the soldier. I shall not have patience to go on. I get ill-humored and indifferent, and then leave off. Why ill-humored? I scarcely know more than that I acquire a general sense of my own family's want of merit through seeing how meritorious the people are around me. I see them happy and thriving without any necessity for me at all. And then I regard these canvas grandfathers and grandmothers, and ask, why was a line so antiquated, and out of date prolonged till now? She chid him good-naturedly for such views. They will do you an injury, she declared. Do spare yourself, Captain de Stancy. De Stancy shook his head as he turned the painting before him a little further to the light. But, do you know, said Paula, that notion of yours of being a family out of date is delightful to some people. I talk to Charlotte about it often. I am never weary of examining those canopied effigies in the church, and almost wish they were those of my relations. I will try to see things in the same light for your sake, said de Stancy fervently. Not for my sake. For your own was what I meant, of course, she replied with a repressive air. Captain de Stancy bowed. What are you going to do with your photographs when you have them? She asked, as if still anxious to obliterate the previous sentimental lapse. I shall put them into a large album and carry them with me in my campaigns. And may I ask, now I have an opportunity, that you would extend your permission to copy a little further, and let me photograph one other painting that hangs in the castle, to fittingly complete my set? Which? That half-length of a lady which hangs in the morning room. I remember seeing it in the academy last year. Paula involuntarily closed herself up. The picture was her own portrait. It does not belong to your series, she said somewhat coldly. De Stancy's secret thought was, I hope from my soul it will belong someday. He answered with mildness. There is a sort of connection, you are my sister's friend. Paula assented. and hence, might not your friend's brother photograph your picture? Paula demurred. A gentle sigh rose from the bosom of the Stancy. What is to become of me? He said, with a light distressed laugh. I am always inconsiderate, and inclined to ask too much. Forgive me. What was in my mind, when I asked I dare not say. I quite understand your interest in your family pictures and all of it. She remarked more gently, willing not to hurt the sensitive feelings of a man so full of romance. And in that one. He said, looking devotedly at her. If I had only been fortunate enough to include it with the rest, my album would indeed have been a treasure to pore over by the bivouac fire. Oh, Captain de Stancy, this is provoking perseverance. Cried Paula, laughing half crossly. I expected that, after expressing my decision so plainly the first time, I should not have been further urged upon the subject. Saying which he turned and moved decisively away. It had not been a productive meeting, thus far. One word. Said de Stancy, following and almost clasping her hand. I have given offense, I know. But do let it all fall on my own head. Don't tell my sister of my misbehavior. She loves you deeply, and it would wound her to the heart. You deserve to be told upon, said Paula as she withdrew, with just enough playfulness to show that her anger was not too serious. Charlotte looked at Paula uneasily when the latter joined her in the drawing room. She wanted to say, what is the matter? But guessing that her brother had something to do with it, forbore to speak at first. She could not contain her anxiety long. Were you talking with my brother? She said. Yes, returned Paula, with reservation. However, she soon added, he not only wants to photograph his ancestors, but my portrait too. They are a dreadfully encroaching sex, and perhaps being in the army makes them worse. I'll give him a hint, and tell him to be careful. Don't say I have definitely complained of him. It is not worth while to do that. The matter is too trifling for repetition. Upon the whole, Charlotte, I would rather you said nothing at all. The Stancy's hobby of photographing his ancestors seemed to become a perfect mania with him. Almost every morning discovered him in the larger apartments of the castle, taking down and rehanging the dilapidated pictures, with the assistance of the indispensable Dare, his fingers stained black with dust, and his face expressing a busy attention to the work in hand, though always reserving a look askance for the presence of Paula. Though there was something of subterfuge, there was no deep and double subterfuge in all this. De Stancy took no particular interest in his ancestral portraits, but he was enamored of Paula to weakness. Perhaps the composition of his love would hardly bear looking into, but it was recklessly frank, and not quite mercenary. His photographic scheme was nothing worse than a lover's not too scrupulous contrivance. After the refusal of his request to copy her picture, he fumed, unfretted at the prospect of Somerset's return before any impression had been made on her heart by himself. He swore at Dare, and asked him hotly why he had dragged him into such a hopeless dilemma as this. Hopeless? Somerset must still be kept away, so that it is not hopeless. I will consider how to prolong his stay. Thereupon Dare considered. The time was coming, but indeed come, when it was necessary for Paula to make up her mind about her architect, if she meant to begin building in the spring. The two sets of plans, Somerset's and Havill's, were hanging on the walls of the room that had been used by Somerset as his studio, and were accessible by anybody. Dare took occasion to go and study both sets, with a view to finding a flaw in Somerset's which might have been passed over unnoticed by the committee of architects, owing to their absence from the actual site. But not a blunder could he find. He next went to Havil, and here he was met by an amazing state of affairs. Havil's creditors, at last suspecting something mythical in Havil's assurance that the Grand Commission was his, had lost all patience. His house was turned upside down, and a poster gleamed on the front wall, stating that the excellent modern household furniture was to be sold by auction on Friday next. Troubles had apparently come in battalions, for Dare was informed by a bystander that Havil's wife was seriously ill also. Without staying for a moment to enter his friend's house, back went Mr. Dare to the castle and told Captain Destancy of the Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.